You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Looks like we're coming in at just the right time for episode 210 of Catfish on Ice with your hosts Chad Minton and Max Greenberg coming at you right now. What's up, Max? How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Just got the game on TV as well. Just here, just multitasking, you know?
Well, hey, man. I got to tell you, the NHL is the gift that keeps on giving. There, you don't need a script. It's just the best daytime soap opera in all of sports. I mean, if you took a day off from looking up hockey news for a day and you walked in today and looked up everything, oh my gosh, there's so much going on right now.
Off and things happen.
Yeah, just a few minutes. Exactly. So right now we're coming at you in the third period between the Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. No love lost there. We will never, ever get over that 2017 Cup Final loss.
No, that's not at all. It's not good.
We're in the third period right now, and right when we were going live just now, the Penguins tied it up 2-2. The Preds had a 2-0 lead, that cursed two-goal lead that scares everybody. Max, you're already shaking your head over there.
It was nearly a 3-goal lead the other night that we coughed up.
Yes. And you're already shaking your head over there, man. I can already tell that you're like not feeling it, man. But we're tied at 2. There's a little over 16 minutes left in the third period. So episode 210 of Catfish on Ice is going to be all about watching this final period, seeing if it goes to overtime, seeing what happens, giving you our reaction to what's happened so far. We've got a lot in store for you tonight. We are brought to you by DraftKings and also Raycon. Promo code THPN for exclusive offers on both of those amazing brands and products. And we will tell you more about them later. We're part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Really awesome to be in here with you guys watching this third period between the Predators and the Penguins. It's been a really great game so far, Max.
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton of it. Yeah, I didn't watch the first period. I watched a little bit of the second, but it's been pretty even the whole time. And, you know, at least since I've started watching, you know, obviously shots of the game aren't everything, but the Penguins are ahead by like 7. It's stayed that way for a while. So, yeah, it seems like pretty evenly matched. And right now the Preds got the puck in the offensive zone, although my feed is probably a good bit behind everyone else because I have the Bally Sports feed, which is just – it's not good.
Yeah. So we're about 15 minutes left in the third period right now. And this game has basically been a battle of attrition, which is really what hockey comes down to. In every hockey game is different. You treat every hockey game differently. But this game has been the prototypical battle for loose pucks. Who's going to win the battles? Who is going to win the loose puck battles? Both teams have had pretty good defensive structure in this game. I think both teams have done a good job overall at protecting their goaltenders. So the goal that the Penguins scored when we were going on live just now, I still got to really see the replay on it, but it looked like a puck where there was a lot of traffic in front of Saros. He couldn't see the puck. The first goal the Penguins scored tonight was just the product of Evgeny Malkin just being one of the all-time greats.
Yep.
It was just a snipe. It was just a seemingly harmless play, harmless rush by the Penguins. You think the Predators are good. They're cruising. They're up 2-0. And Malkin comes cruising into the zone off a drop pass and just snipes it. Pings it right past Saros.
I believe it was.
Yes. Yep. You're exactly right, Max. So big turning point in the game right now as we do live reaction here in episode 210 of Catfish on Ice. The Predators' penalty kill, which is near the bottom of the league, is going to be tested here. We're in a 2-2 game. Cole Smith goes to the box. Got to kill this penalty off.
That's a penalty killer too, so that's not great.
Yes. And you're riding a 5-game winning streak right now. Everyone's feeling good about themselves. Things are feeling great. You jump out to a 2-0 lead in this game, and you're suddenly in danger of blowing another 2-0 lead, which you did against the Coyotes, which you did against, what was the other team?
Anaheim,
yes. Yeah. Thank you for jotting my memory on that one.
It was two games in a row, and in the Arizona game was 2-2 goal leads blown in the same game.
Yes. So these 2-goal leads actually scare us. We got some comments coming in here. Redemption, our good friend Johnny comes in. Hey, yep. Chad Max, I'll hang out for the third period since you guys are recording. I will have to go and do the fan reaction as soon as the game is over, though. Yes. Johnny does his awesome fan reaction videos. Go subscribe to him on YouTube. He does awesome. I love his animation. I love his passion for it. We got Justin in here. I'm playing Justin in fantasy hockey this week.
I don't know. I don't remember who I'm playing this week. I have to go check. I forgot who I'm playing this week.
Justin, I love you, man, but I'm coming for you. Hello back. Thank you for saying hello, but I'm coming for you, dude. My team is 2-4, but wait a minute. I got to talk about our fantasy hockey league for a second. I've got like the fourth most points in the entire league, but my record is 2-4. How is that fair?
It's just fantasy sometimes. I mean, I don't know how, like one of my buddies in a football league, at one point in the season, he had a ton of points. Like he was at the very least top three in points four, and he was 2-5. You just never know how fantasy works on one given week. Yeah. It's just BS sometimes. It's all it comes down to.
It's been fun though. So Justin, I'm coming for you. And also perfect timing, because tonight we got to see Michael McCarron drop the gloves. Yeah. We know he's a brawler, and we are actually going to rank our 5 best fighters in Predators history. And there's a ton to choose from, because one thing we know about
he's got two goals. So he's going for the Gordie Howe hat trick tonight.
He is. And one thing we know about the Predators, they've always had some brawlers. They've always had some blue collar players that weren't afraid to drop the gloves. Absolutely. So we are going to narrow it down to 5. I got some honorable mentions as well, but I got my 5 top fighters. Max, he can throw in his fighters as well. I think we'll be in agreement with a few of them, but I got some stats here.
A little more recent than yours. So because I'm not like, I mean, I can't believe I'm admitting this on like the podcast, but I'm not, you know, as deep into like the Preds, like actual like history as you are. So I probably won't, some of yours might be a little older than mine, but I have some I think I'm going to throw in there.
All right. Well, we'll see where it goes. We got the Central Division rundown. We got to talk about the Minnesota Wild. We got to talk about the Colorado Avalanche. We're going to hit on the Chicago Blackhawks for a little bit. So we got some stuff to cover there. So a lot to get into here on episode 210 of Catfish and Ice. But before we do anything, the Preds do kill that penalty off. We got 12 minutes left in the third period. We'll keep watching this game with you. If any goals are scored or anything significant happens, we will cut to that. But until then, some news for the podcast. I think a lot of our loyal listeners maybe already know this, but we have listeners every day who maybe don't follow us on social media, maybe they don't know, but there has been a change at the co-host level on Catfish on Ice, and it's a very bittersweet announcement for me, because I've got an amazing new co-host in Max Greenberg, who is on the show with me tonight. He's going to be awesome, and I can't wait to do many, many, many episodes with this gentleman. But me and Max both know our good friend Rich Howe, who was the longtime co-host of Catfish on Ice. He rode with me in the early days of this podcast when I thought this podcast would fail before 10 episodes. I'm just being real with everybody. This was something I scooped up on the side. Someone asked me to do it. I said, yeah, I'll find time to do it. I've never done a podcast. but I knew that I needed good people around me. I couldn't do it on my own. And Rich was a good friend of mine at the time who was writing with me for Predlines.com. Yep. And he didn't know anything about podcasting either. Me and him both, and our good friend Colin Bluen at the time, who also jumped on with us. It was a trio of us. We jumped on and learned as we went and got better as we went. But Rich stuck out with me through over 200 episodes, and he's still going to be with the podcast in the future, but he had to step away. And, you know, we all have busy lives. We all have things going on, and we do this podcast when we can find time. But very bittersweet news for the podcast, because Rich Howe is like instrumental in this podcast making it as far as it's made it. And he's going to join us when we can. But it's also a new chapter for Catfish on Ice. So that's why I say bittersweet, because it's also very, very good news today, because Catfish on Ice is moving into a new era in a new chapter. And Max Greenberg, my awesome co-host, my good friend as well, who knows his Preds, and me and him are going to do battles together talking hockey.
Absolutely.
He is the new co-host. And Max, I'm happy to have you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here. Obviously, you know, I was here last week, and, you know, I guess didn't know then it'd be a full-time thing, but it turns out to be that way. And, you know, as you said about Rich, you know, Rich is just a really good guy, and he's always, and he brings the knowledge all the time too. You know, he was on Pred Lines when I first started writing. He was one of the originals for me as I got, you know, kind of in tune with, you know, the Pred Lines community, also Pred's Twitter, just in general. He's always been there, and it's going to be weird, you know, not having it. It was kind of weird whenever he had to stop writing, and, you know, obviously now he's got things going on, and, you know, we'll always be glad to have Rich back on. You know, he's, again, you know, he brings all the knowledge, and you can't say enough good things about Rich, and, you know, he'll be missed for sure, but I'm glad to be able to be the one to take that next step and be a full-time co-host.
Yeah, man, we're going to do it. We're going to take this podcast to new heights, but we can't do it without our amazing listeners that support us, our amazing community that we have, all the people that support this podcast. It's a joint effort. It's all literally a joint effort to make this podcast what it is. And so Rich has already said that he's going to join the podcast from here and there whenever he can find time, whenever he can. And of course he knows that the door is always open. There's a key under the mat for Rich Howe. He's got a key for him whenever he wants to come into the podcast.
Key card not even necessary. You just open the unlocked door, but basically is what it is.
He doesn't even have to tell us. He doesn't even have to tell us. He could pop in right now and we would be like ecstatic.
We might even tell him sometime that if he can't, well, I guess he can't, but we might even tell him to join.
Yeah, exactly. Justin Gambino jumps in on YouTube and says, "We love Rich." I concur. Love that dude so much. So let's move on here. So 10 minutes left now in the third period. We've reached the 10-minute mark. It's still 2-2
Where are you at in the game, by the way? Like, what exact mark?
I'm at 10 minutes and 10 seconds in the third period.
I'm at 10:35. Freaking Bally.
Oh, me and Rich used to go through this all the time on these live watch-alongs. Welcome
to
the dance.
It's always worked. It's like a lot of times, like our group chat that we have, you know, separate from this, they'll go on Discord and watching the game, and I have to be careful when I can join because I'm always behind. They're always way ahead of me.
Yeah. All right. I'll try not to give anything away. All right.
All right.
But don't feel bad. What I'm saying,
I'm doing the same thing whenever I'm ahead of people.
What I'm saying is this game has definitely been a very good defensive game from both teams. Both goaltenders have been sharp. This is exactly so watching the Bally Sports South broadcast. We all know about Dan Hynote. Dan Hynote, the assistant coach for the Preds, is always so forthcoming in how he describes the game. I think Bally Sports does a great job whenever they interview him inside the game. And he said something that really stood out to me tonight, Max. I don't know if you saw it, but he said against the Penguins, it's a war on the boards.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all about winning it on the boards, winning the puck battles on the boards. And you look at – we have to talk about it right now. The first two goals scored tonight by the Predators were by Michael McCarron, a player who plays that way. And, you know, me and you have both, man. Me and you have both gone back and forth in our writing times talking about why is Michael McCarron in the starting lineup. Like, we can never figure it out. But he, under John Hines and now under Andrew Burnett, he finds his way into the starting lineup. Max, what are you seeing from him? Do you think that he has earned his starting role? Obviously, he's got two goals in the first period. But even before that, have you come on the other side of that now? And are you a true believer in Michael McCarron being a regular starter?
You know, I've always said before, and I wrote an article for Predlines, I believe it was last year, and we were doing our player previews as we do a lot before the season starts. And I've always said, look, Michael McCarron's going to have a place on any team. Even if he's not a starter, he's a very good rotational player, some guy that he can still come in from game to game, and he's going to give you the hits. He's going to, you know, on certain nights where you're playing teams where you need to up the physical game, he's, of course, going to be that kind of role player. You know, I don't necessarily see him being in the lineup night in, night out in a fully healthy team, you know, especially with where the Preds are kind of at center, because, you know, with Juuso Parsonen, he's a natural center, yet when the team's fully healthy, he's playing on the wing a lot of times. So, you know, I wouldn't say I see him in the lineup, you know, if we're at full health, but like I say, you know, Michael McCarron is obviously going to be a player that, you know, and that's what a lot of people, you know, don't understand, but like, players, just because they don't play every night doesn't mean they don't have a spot on the team. And Michael McCarron, you know, he plays enough, but he also, just, you know, being the player he is, he still does have a place on any team just as extra depth. And it's valuable. I mean, it goes underappreciated, but you need those kind of guys to pick up the slack when, you know, players are injured or you just have to be physical, because it's a very real thing in hockey, as we've learned over the years. There are some games where you just have to up the physical ante, if you will.
That depth is extremely important, as you say, and having players like Michael McCarron, maybe not the highest skilled player in terms of offense, maybe, but a prototypical fourth line bruiser and a prototypical player that you can go to war with in the playoffs. Even in the playoffs, you can go to war with a player like Michael McCarron on your fourth line.
He's not scared of anything.
And he dropped the gloves tonight, and he's a tone setter.
Oh,
but he can also give you offense, and we've seen that tonight. And even before tonight, when he scored the two goals, we've always known that Michael McCarron has a little offense in his back pocket that he can pull out every now and then. He'll flash it.
People forget he was a first round pick, as crazy as it is to say. He was a first round pick. So I mean, there is some talent there.
There you go. Yeah, for sure. So down to the 8-minute mark, and it's back and forth right now. Both teams are just really battling for puck possession.
Absolutely. Right, I can see it right here. I'm a little behind you, but I can see they're hacking and whacking at that puck.
They are. Neither team can really get set up right now.
I can see O'Reilly winning a battle right now.
Yes. And what we're seeing is which team is going to crack first? Which team is going to turn the puck over first?
Yep.
That's kind of what it comes down to, because special teams has not really proven to be a major factor in this game at all. The Penguins, their power play is actually a mess right now, which you wouldn't expect that with a Sidney Crosby-led team.
And especially after getting Erik Karlsson this summer, who's an offensive defenseman, you thought that would help out a little bit.
Yeah, going into this game, the Penguins had not scored a power play goal in 7 games, which is pretty amazing to think about. Yeah, pretty bad.
That's not good.
Yeah, so 5-on-5 hockey right now. This is a toe-to-toe battle between these two teams. And it's perfect script, because guess what? They both have the same record, 10-10-0. So I think both teams are better than their record. Would you agree with that?
Probably. Max? I mean, the Penguins, because the Preds are, you know, a newer team, but the Penguins, at least, you know, they're more established, and they still have a lot of talent with, you know, Crosby and Malkin are obviously still great, and you feel like they will be till the day they stop playing. So you know, I think this is a pretty even matchup, and you know, the Preds are a little younger and faster, so you know, both teams have their strengths and weaknesses, but I think they kind of cancel each other out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So Justin Gambino asked on YouTube, if this game were to go to overtime, who do you think has the advantage? I would I would say the Predators have the advantage in a overtime scenario because I think they have more speed than and more offensive skill than the Penguins do. But overtime's always a crapshoot. But I would lean towards the Predators.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I think that speed definitely makes a difference. Those young, fresh legs that the Penguins don't really have. And, you know, over 3-on-3 overtime is always, you know, one of those things like who can get the puck in breakaway areas and stuff. So I think that definitely favors the Preds. But you never know. And this game may not even go to overtime. So you never know.
I mean, neither team has a overtime loss yet. So we really don't know. So this is what we walked into. If you missed any hockey time at any time, here's what we have for you. So, Preds fans are reacting to John Hines getting hired by the Minnesota Wild. Could you write a better script, Max? Could you?
It's unbelievable. Like even when Hines got hired on yesterday, I mean that in itself, I just couldn't believe. But I forgot to even think like, yeah, they're playing here on Thursday. And I'm like, oh, like I was kind of thinking to myself, so on Sunday night, so Sunday there was a Titans game at home. I went to that and I went to the Preds game because I wanted to do a Titans Preds doubleheader. I've never done that before in the same day, which was cool. But when I saw that hire, I'm like, maybe I should have just not bought the ticket for Sunday and just gone to the Thursday's game instead so I could see John Hines against us.
I mean, I don't even know how to react to this. I mean, I know John Hines is a great dude.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely bad people out there who try to attack people's character. Any criticism that I've ever given John Hines is purely hockey related. You know, like I don't know the guy personally. I've heard is positive.
No player said a bad thing about him.
No, all I've ever heard about John Hines is that he's a great guy, and I believe in all that, and I think he is a great guy. But when it comes to his coaching and all that, and just purely hockey-related, we're going to talk about it a little bit later in the Central Division rundown, but I cannot understand for the life of me why the Minnesota Wild would bring on John Hines at this point in the season other than they're looking for stability right now. They're looking for a head coach to come into the locker room and just calm everything down. And they've pretty much just given up on the season. I mean, that's all I can figure out.
The Wild seem, honestly, with where the Wild are right now and them just hiring Hines, it very much seems like they're at the point where we were 4 years ago when we fired Laviolette. They're an extremely disappointing year.
That's a good point.
They know
that's
the cup point. The cup window is really coming to an end. You know, I always thought the Wild, their cup window was kind of dwindling. I didn't think it'd be this bad, of course, but I always thought, you know, they're kind of getting close to that point where they might need to call it quits. And you know, I think, you know, this season, you know, certainly if anything is shown, maybe they should completely blow it up. But you know, with hiring Hines, like, yeah, you got the calming presence, of course, but like, where's your upside really at with that? You know, I don't see for a team that has, you know, Kirill Kaprizov and needs a guy like that to lead a big offensive surge game by game. I don't see that helping him that much. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe it'll calm things down a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, I think their upside is significantly capped with that hire.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's a weird thing for me because we're going to talk about it in the Central Division rundown, but the Minnesota Wild a lot of people predicted, including myself, that they were going to have a little bit of a down year and they were very hard to figure out. But I saw plenty of predictions out there that still had them as the third place team in the Central Division.
I think I was one of those people.
Yeah. So they're a major disappointment. They're arguably the biggest disappointment in the NHL right now.
I can't think of, maybe besides Edmonton, I can't really think of, although Edmonton might be ahead of them now.
Edmonton's definitely up there as well. And I feel like they're up there every year. Every year we talk about Edmonton being,
you know, there's another disappointment. And maybe it's a little, maybe not quite as much. They have a few more points and they're in the East, so it's a little harder. But New Jersey.
New, Jer- Yes, no one's talking about that because they're the darlings. They're the media darlings of the league, the New Jersey Devils. They're the young, fun team, and they're stumbling. Plenty.
Jack Hughes, but yeah, they're, and again, it's the Eastern Conference, but they're even behind Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, following the Predators and stuff, we don't follow the Eastern Conference as closely, but yeah, the Flyers have definitely been better, outperformed their expectations so far.
Yeah.
Very early, obviously. But yeah, the Devils, that's a good team to bring up there in terms of talking about disappointing teams right now. You would probably say the Wild, the Devils for sure, and the Oilers, those three teams.
I would say
put them in a class on their own.
And look, it was looking early in the season like Seattle was going to be among that bunch, but I'd say right now they're about what we expect them to be, like a mid-tier team that has a chance at a wild card, maybe third place in their division, but that's about where they are right now. So
Justin says that the rest love them some Penguins. Yeah, we know.
Oh, yeah. They've always loved the Penguins. They've always been the ref darlings.
I'll never get over the Colton Sissons snapshot.
Yeah, that's
where that puck, where he's flailed out on the ice, that puck is clearly across the red line, the goal line.
I'll clearly lose. They blew it dead because they thought that the goaltender had it, but clearly not.
We got some shenanigans going on here. We're coming up on the 4-minute mark of regulation. Penguins and Preds still tied 2-2. It's been a really, really good game, honestly. I mean, not flashy in any way, but very much two evenly matched teams. If these two teams went against each,
keep going.
I was just going to say real quick, and then you can go. I was going to say that if these two teams went at it in a 7-game series, it would probably go 7 games. I'm not saying that either one of these teams would necessarily make the playoffs.
You know, speaking of this game, and I kind of think it as a whole with Andrew Brunette's system, you know, whenever John Hines was coach, we always talk about the system being, you know, dumping, physical, just bruising, all that. But the Preds certainly have not shied away from, you know, winning from battling and being physical. They're still doing plenty of that under Brunette's system. That's not like that's really gone away at all.
Yeah.
And this game's a perfect example of that.
One thing you're seeing from the Predators right now is, yeah, they're a flashy team. They're flashier than they were under John Hines. And the biggest difference you see in every game, you've even seen it tonight, it doesn't necessarily work to a T every game. I think the Penguins, I give a lot of credit to the Penguins tonight in their defense. They've done a really good job building a structure, a wall, if you will, at the blue line to keep the Predators from really breaking it and getting out in transition. So I got to give a lot of credit to the Penguins tonight, but every game, whether it works or not, the Predators rush up the ice. They take chances. They skip line changes sometimes to push the pace. Whereas under John Hines in the day, it was always a dump and chase. It was always we're going to dump the puck and we're going to play that 60-foot game and we're going to try to, or that 200-foot game, and we're going to try to win the possession battle. Under Hines, whereas under Brunette, way more chances are taken. Way more chances.
I think the Preds are even way better at the 200-foot game under Brunette than they were under Hines, because, you know, you would always see with Hines, you know, they couldn't score goals. You know, they didn't have enough in their system to be able to do all the flashy stuff that Brunette has. But they also struggled with teams who had speed because they were always trying. They were too busy trying to be physical. But Brunette, it's more emphasis on speed and truly playing that 200-foot game skating all across the ice.
I see what you're saying. I mean, you put the pressure on the opposing team because you're constantly coming at them.
Yeah.
You don't take risks. The only trade-off with this system is you are susceptible to getting burnt on the back end. And so we haven't even talked about this. So Max, episode 209, me and you both went back and forth on this. About Luke Shen, what was going to happen. So the Predators go with 7 defensemen tonight. They go down one fewer forward. Sunday. Yeah. And so you see Luke Shen in there, And from what I've seen in his play tonight against the Penguins, he's done some good things, especially on the penalty kill, which is what I said was his main value is on the penalty kill. It doesn't mean that I'm on board with it. It doesn't mean that it makes sense to me. Liam Foudy is the healthy scratch in all of this.
That makes sense.
So how do you feel about that, Max? Because I'll tell you real quick, but before you go, I'll tell you real quick how I feel about it. I kind of think that Andrew Brunette's playing some chess right now.
I think, you know, like I kind of kept saying a lot on Tuesday, I think it's definitely kind of reflective of, you know, him being in that trial and error phase, trying to see what works and what doesn't. You know, I never thought he'd go back to a McDonough-Yossi just because, you know, they're both left-handed defensemen. Although I would say that pairing's been very good. It's also weird that he's putting Barry and Fabro on a pair. They're both right-handed defensemen. I don't know why. That doesn't make a ton of sense. But, you know, as far as, you know, goes with Shen, you know, after Sunday, I kind of thought, I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought he was done because he had a turnover and that led to a Jets goal. And then he didn't play the rest of the game. And, you know, I definitely would still sit him. You know, I don't think, you know, seven defensemen and 11 forwards is going to be necessarily sustainable going forward because you still need your offense to be there. And that's definitely part of Andrew Brunette's system. And I said a second ago, I don't have a problem with not playing Foudy because he hasn't really done much. He's shown a few flashes here and there, but hasn't truly done a lot to warrant a night in and night out spot. And, you know, I guess I could see him getting waived as I accidentally said a second ago, but I could see that happening because if the Preds need him, especially when Tommy Novak come back, if they need him, make room. But, you know, I guess I would still say, you know, my opinion is not totally changed. I'd still prefer for Shen to be the odd man out because, you know, he definitely is slower than these other guys, and his performance has certainly been the worst out of all of them so far. So I would definitely think the other guys, if there's any one guy I would take out of the lineup, it's probably Barry because he's had a few mistakes this year, and I wouldn't say he's done a ton to really show that he should be in versus, you know, Fabro and Carrier. They played better, but yeah, I think it's definitely some, you know, experimenting Brunette's doing a little bit, but I guess I would still prefer for Shen to be the odd man out on a nightly basis if it came, because the Preds won't, like I say, the Preds won't do seven defensemen forever.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Brunette's doing right now is he's definitely testing all the pieces. He's testing all the puzzle pieces to see what fits. And you can get away with that in game 20.
Yeah.
In game 20, you can do that. He has time, and he's riding a 5-game winning streak. So
yeah,
he can still keep doing this. Once we get to the later second half of the season, let's hope that, assuming injuries come together and let's say Novak and Glass get back in the lineup, that eventually Brunette can figure out this is my preferred lineup every night if there's not an injury. If there's not an injury, because if you're pushing for the playoffs, if you really want to make the playoffs, which, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who are team tank. They want to tank, and I understand that. I'm not on that team. I never will be. But I respect people who are on that team. I get it. But either way, I don't want to get into that can of worms right now. But what I'm saying is this team clearly wants to win. They think they can win. Barry Trotz went out and did what he did in the offseason if he doesn't think they can win in the playoffs. So if you're going to – eventually, Brunette's going to have to figure out who is his playoff lineup. But we're way so far away from that right. I think it's okay for him right now to be experimenting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're kind of seeing, I mean, of course, it's going to change when, you know, Novak and Glass get healthy, but we're already seeing that he's starting to kind of figure out these forward lines a little. You know, it seems like he likes that top line of Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, and, you know, Sherwood and Evangelista looked like they're pretty much penciled in as the second line wingers no matter what. I mean, anything can change, but, you know, Brunette's definitely, I think Brunette's starting to, you know, figure out a little bit the forwards, and I think the defense have been pretty stable. Of course, Shen hadn't been healthy for hardly any of the year, but, you know, But yeah, no, like I've kept saying, and we'll probably say many more times on this podcast until it almost beats a dead horse. Trial and error is so much part of it, but you would hope that like by January he has it pretty much figured out, because that's about the time where you're like, okay, you've had enough time to kind of figure out your puzzle pieces. In January is about where I'm going to be like, we can't do the constant lineup shuffling. But the forwards, he's already kind of starting to show that he's figuring it out a little bit more.
Yeah. So we are heading to overtime between the Predators and the Penguins. You just saw Philip Tomasino nearly beat the pad of Tristan Jarry. And that's another player on the other side of this ad read. I want to talk about Tomasino a little bit with you, Max. I feel like we really have to really dissect what he has done. But before we get to that, and before we continue on into overtime between the Preds and the Penguins on this watch along reaction episode 210 of Catfish on Ice, let's tell you about DraftKings and the current offer. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook with all the hockey action. We are recording on a Tuesday right now. I had to think about that for a second. The days run together, especially coming after Thanksgiving. But let's really look into the upcoming matchups for the NHL right now. And it's just going so fast and furious. So looking at Wednesday, we've got the Montreal Canadiens at the Columbus Blue Jackets. You got the Blue Jackets as a slight favorite right there. You got the Red Wings taking on the Rangers. That's going to be fun. And we know about the Red Wings news, Max. Patrick Kane.
Yep.
Whoa.
That's going to be a really good game. Two really good teams so far this year. And it's on TNT, so nationally televised.
Not even sure if Patrick Kane will be available for that game, but either way. And then it's a really short Wednesday night slate. So if you're downloading this podcast on Wednesday morning and you're on your drive home, drive into work this morning, that's your NHL slate. You've also got the Capitals at the LA Kings. The LA Kings are ripping through people right now, as we would expect.
Yep. No,
Kings are the heavy favorites at home against the Capitals.
Oh my God, Forsberg!
What happened? That's a bang. That's a bang, people.
Yes. Forsberg continues his tear. Wow.
We got a review, though. That
defense. He made it look effortless.
We got a review.
Is it being reviewed?
Yeah, I see the refs reviewing it. It says final overtime.
Uh-oh. I see
Forsberg's raising his stick up. Oh, yeah. Penguins. Oh, yeah. Mike Sullivan is yelling at somebody. But the Penguins players are going down the tunnel. It's over. It's over, folks.
Okay, good.
Forsberg season continues. So guess what I said? I said recently that, oh, my gosh, that's so close. That's a crazy play. I don't know what the Penguins were upset about. I'm trying to figure it out here.
Walking down, Mike Sullivan's not happy about something, but I see him walking down the
tunnel. Look at that speed. Look at that speed by Forsberg, y'all.
Hey, my prediction last week of Forsberg breaking that 84-point total is still looking good. Even though it's still way off. Oh, man, that does look close to offside. But I do think Cole Smith did have his foot on the blue line. Was it Cole Smith? It was O'Reilly. What was I looking at? My bad.
Yeah, Predemption is saying O'Reilly maybe was offside. It was very close.
No, I think his foot was just on the line.
Predemption says, but it was interference by Penguins, so it's a good goal, Chad.
Yeah. He didn't go down on his own power. That's for sure.
Here's what I'm talking about with this goal, y'all. Offsides or not, Forsberg in that speed, have we ever seen him play that way? So this is how we know Philip Forsberg in his entire career. He's got a great wrister. He can score on the power play. If you feed him, if you can find him in the right areas, absolutely he can score. He in the right high danger areas. But scoring goals like that from Philip Forsberg, skating the full length of the ice in overtime with speed, going into the zone and just looking like Nathan MacKinnon out there. Am I wrong for saying that, Max? That dude looked like Nathan MacKinnon or someone like that.
He looked pretty freaking fast on that play, that's for sure.
The guy is on a mission. We've been saying this. I mean, and I don't want to sound too overdramatic right now, but the guy is coming back from a concussion that he suffered in February, not that long ago.
Too. And now he's playing. It did not look good.
And he's playing a very brutally physical sport where you get hit every play, basically.
Yeah. And nothing looks like it's bothering him out there. He looks like he, not that he hasn't lost a step, he looks like he's gained a step or two.
And we actually forget this. I wrote a piece for Predlines on it recently on Forsberg, and I singled myself out on my own article. I said, sometimes we forget how young Philip Forsberg, yes, Philip Forsberg, still is, because he's been around for so long.
This is his 10th year.
The dude is not even 30 years old yet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been his official rookie year was the 2014-15 season. He's still only 29.
So the Predators win. Philip Forsberg scores the game winner. The winning streak reaches six games.
And the point streak was good anyway. Pretty amazing. Nice to get the extra point as well on the six wins in a row.
Yes. Just the Predators are just on a heater right now. They're on a heater. And give a lot of credit to Andrew Burnett for keeping this team together. You went through that really ugly road trip, and then you lose your first two on the homestand, and everyone's thinking this is going to be awful and buckle in. And then next thing you know, you got a six-game winning streak, and you've actually beaten some pretty good teams in the process.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, the Preds absolutely, again, I mean, like I said last week on the podcast, you know, the games like we had against the Avalanche last Monday where you come back in the final 30 seconds, you know, games like that can unlock a team because that just does so much for their confidence, beating a good team and getting rewarded for a good game they had played that whole night. And now it looks like they've taken that to a different level. They're on a roll right now, and confidence with the team looks sky high.
So it's another multi-point game for Forsberg. He also had an assist on one of Michael McCarron's goals. Tomasino gets another point, so he is cruising right now and facilitating the offense. And then on that final goal, the game-winning goal by Philip Forsberg, you get assists from Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi for the win. Updated standings right now, the Predators are above 500 for the first time this season. So there you have it there. They've gone from last place when they played the Chicago Blackhawks just less than 2 weeks ago to the updated standings. They are 4 points behind Winnipeg for third place, 1 point behind St. Louis, and they've moved past Arizona. They're ahead of Minnesota, who they play on Thursday, and you got Chicago still in last place. So that's your updated standings. Predators got six wins in a row. They're cruising. They got Minnesota and John Hines on Thursday. We will talk a little bit more about that here coming up. But let's go ahead and finish out our DraftKings ad read real quick. Sorry, DraftKings. We're going to give you your love. But, of course, the Preds just won the game, so we had to cut to that. All right, so we just gave you our matchups for Wednesday on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Let's tell you about the offer right now. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net in New York. Call 877-78-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved. All right, so Preds win. Let's move along. So let's get into our thoughts on John Hines. Let's move into that. You got it scrolling about at the bottom of the screen there. John Hines is the new head coach of the Minnesota Wild. The Minnesota Wild have moved on from their embattled head coach, Dean Evason. And I know if you're a Wild fan right now, you got to be shell-shocked. You were not expecting to go through a head coaching change at game 20. And you've got some superstars on this team that you don't want to see their windows wasted, including Kirill Kaprizov and a few other players. But the more you look at the Minnesota Wild roster right now, they're not built to win right now.
And I mean, I think they're kind of in the spot that we were years, just stuck in the middle, you know, not being, you know, good enough to win, but also not being bad enough to get a high pick in, you know. It's just, and then hiring Hines, I don't think it's, people think, you know, Hines is a, you know, a lot of people think, you know, Hines is like a dumpster fire head coach, but, you know, I guess the best way I can describe Hines from his time in Nashville is he seems like a very streaky coach, and streaky enough where it's like, he's not going to give you like the true consistency over a season. And it's going to kind of keep you in the, because like, it feels like he starts off either start or end a year, either start a year really bad or really good, but then end the year the exact opposite way. I mean, I don't really know how else to describe it, but like, I do think, you know, this move pretty much ensures that the Wild are going to, you know, be kind of,
I think it's a safe, you know, I think like for them, for that, then,
if that,
for that for the Minnesota Wild right now, I think that they're in a position where we always joke about recycled head coaches in the NHL. That's the running joke, that the NHL is the best at just recycling head coaches. And that's kind of how people look at John Hines. They look at him as a recycled head coach. He's not a great head coach. He's not a Stanley Cup caliber, amazing head coach, but he is one of those head coaches or one of those types of coaches that will always have a chance to get a job somewhere whenever a team is in desperate need to get somebody to come in and just stabilize the locker room.
Yeah.
And so that's how I see this. And so going into this Thursday, our next game, Predators are going to be carrying a 6-game winning streak as John Hines comes to Bridgestone Arena. Just like so weird. Like no one expected this, you know? First of all, I really hope that fellow Predators fans show a little class and don't boo
do
the
too.
Man.
I don't want to see him classy. He's not that. I mean, rarely are people like that, but especially I don't want to see Hines getting booed. I'm full agreement there. I do not. It's
there, I don't think there will be a lot of boos. There might be a few here and there, but there's a time and a place. I will be very, very disappointed in our fan base if there is an overwhelming ring of boos that you can actually hear on
they certainly think it's a
broadcast
chance. That's, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of expecting it, unfortunately.
Because I can promise you that if it's loud enough to be noticeable, it will make its way to social media.
Oh yeah,
and hockey 100%. Twitter. And 100%. I don't want our fan base being known for booing a guy who maybe wasn't the best head coach, but at the same time, the guy did care about this franchise. Absolutely. And he was a really good player. Absolutely. And he was a good player's coach. He was a very good player's coach. The players loved playing for him. We just didn't, like you say all the time, Max, we didn't like his playing style. And it didn't match. Right. You can put all that aside. But the man himself is a good dude. He was good for the community. I really appreciated watching his coaching style behind the scenes when the NHL Network did the Behind the Glass series before last season.
I did too. I thought he was really fun to listen to.
I didn't think he was the right head coach for the franchise necessarily, but he definitely does not deserve any type of boos from the home crowd. So let's hope that he gets a good little respectful round of applause. And then let's play hockey on Thursday.
And for as much as people will talk about his on-ice stuff, people forget that when the Preds put in, their really good, when they're really young players like Evangelista, I guess I forget who it all was. I have to think, but like all those guys who went in late in the year and they're doing well, and people say, "Oh, it's just Carl Taylor." You don't want to give Hines at least a little bit of credit if he's this
Afanasyev got back in the lineup. Afanasyev played for a little bit.
John Hines is, and you guys, and I'm even kind of stealing words from you guys from a few when you guys talked us on the podcast last year. If John Hines is that truly terrible of a head coach, those guys are going to come into the league in their first few games and have no idea what they're doing. John Hines is at least
head coach. So Hines went 134 wins, 96 losses, 18 overtime losses with the Predators in his tenure,
record.
Which was a much, much, much better point percentage than his time with the Devils.
Yeah.
And I always said this, I've always been very transparent with this. The problem with John Hines was you never felt like he was the head coach that was going to be able to carry you through a brutal postseason.
Has he ever won a playoff series? I don't think he has.
He's 3-11 with the Predators. He was 3-11. I think he was like 1-4.
Oh, just in playoff games. Yeah, that's it's not what you want. I mean, it was pretty obvious in that series versus the Avalanche how outmatched we were, not only in terms of talent, but
also didn't have UC Saros, so give him a little bit of a pass that Saros wasn't in.
They still skated circles around us.
They did.
That whole series.
Yeah.
It wasn't
so close. I think for the Wild, from the Wild's perspective, it's a safe pick. And they don't want to go out in the middle of a season and take a chance on a young blood head coach that doesn't have any experience. And so they see John Hines as that really safe option. They can just like maybe stabilize the season a little bit. You're probably not going to win a Stanley Cup this year or go deep in the playoffs, but maybe he can come in and rally the troops. And I got news for you. I got news for all of us. We're all happy and tagging hands right now because we got a 6-game winning streak. It's you're a sports fan, Max. You watch sports. You watch football. You watch hockey. You watch all that. Anytime a team in any sport makes a coaching change, that team comes out rallied. They come out ready, whether it's they're ticked off, chip on their shoulder, whatever it is. I'm telling you right now, the Predators not only better make sure that they're ready to play on Thursday, but they better be ready to play a complete game, because if they don't, if they come out lackadaisical or they come out in that first period in cruise control, they not only could they lose to the Wild on Thursday, and I'm calling it right now, they could get ran out of the building. I'm just telling you right now, these are human beings, and those players for that Minnesota Wild team right now, they're taking all this in right now. They're ticked off. They got a new head coach right now that they might not be happy about. And the Predators on the other end are winning. They've won 6 in a row. So the Predators better come out as the team that's ticked off. Yeah, because the Wild are going to come in and run circles around them.
And don't forget as well, that the fact that John Hines knows the Preds is going to play a role. Like, even though it's a different system, but we've seen in sports, anytime like a former player, coach, whatever, you know, plays against their former team. They're going to drop some intel just because, you know, they know so much. And that's definitely going to happen because John Hines is going to have some pointers about the Preds that, you know, Dean Evason wouldn't have, or a lot of other guys who haven't coached the Preds. But, you know, it's virtually the same team, minus a few players, because Hines did finish the year with the team that had traded everyone at the deadline. So besides,
The Preds are a much different team, though.
I guess, but like they still have a lot of the same players there. Like Yossi's still there, and Forsberg and a bunch of
the way they play, though. The way they play is nothing like what John Hines coached. I mean,
I guess you're right.
I'm not really too worried about that. I'm not too worried about him really knowing, because every coach in this league knows how good Yossi is or how good. I think that I'm more worried about a letdown game. You're riding a 6-game winning streak. It's human nature. It's human nature. These are all humans. It's human nature. You're riding a 6-game winning streak that maybe I still see this team in the way Brunette's rallying his troops right now. I don't see this as the type of team that's going to just like stroll in on Thursday because they've won 6 in a row and just take the Wild for granted. I don't see this team that way. All I'm saying is that is the one thing that kind of worries me about this John Hines reunion, is that I think the Wild are going to come in extremely pissed off, and it's a division matchup. They're going to be out to prove something, and they're definitely not going to take this game off. So the Predators better make sure they don't take this game off either. Otherwise, they will get ran out of the building. You're playing an NHL quality team that's underperforming their expectations right now. So be ready. This game worries me, man. Thursday worries me.
And just another thing also is just like the fact that Preds have won 6 in a row, and I obviously they got momentum, but at some point the law of averages have to play out. I mean, the Preds aren't just going to win every game for the rest of the season. Some point here or there.
They're not? I thought they were, Max.
All right, well, I wish I could believe that much. But no, I mean, seriously, the Preds, they're going to – you got to think sometime within the next week or so they're going to lose one of these games, because – winning streaks don't typically last more than like 5 or 6 games, if they're even that long in hockey.
Well, let's go ahead and stop the count today, Max, because according to Justin, the Preds are officially in a playoff spot after starting 5-10.
Hey, maybe they'll keep winning more just because I said they're not. Let's hope that happens.
No, let's just cancel the rest of the season. The Preds are in the playoffs.
Exactly.
All right.
Wild card magic.
All right. So we're getting ready for the John Hines reunion on Thursday. I'm officially kind of worried about it. So if you remember in the last episode, we discussed what we thought was going to happen in the upcoming homestand. And Max, give me a little credit here. I like my ego stroked a little bit every now and then.
Yep.
I said the Predators were going to go 4-1 over the next 5 after that Avalanche game. They could still go 4-1. There's one game left to play, and that's against the Wild. But I said they were going to go 4-1-0, but I said they were going to lose to the Jets. Well, guess what? They beat the Jets.
And I'll get a little bit.
I feel pretty good.
And I'll get a little bit of ego stroke here too. On that same podcast, I said that game against Calgary, it was going to be a 4-2 Preds win. And guess what happened? Tyson Barrie made a mistake at the end that secured the 4-2
nice
win. It would have been 4-1, but because Barrie must have known, I said Preds are going to win 4-2. He's like, you know what? He must have watched for us. And you know what? I got to make this prediction right. And they came through. So the Preds end up winning 4-2.
Tyson Barrie's a good dude. I think he did that for you, man. Absolutely. That was a good prediction on your part, man. But so good mojo going on right now. But I am a little worried about Thursday. I hate to say it, but I am. But yeah, either way, it
definitely makes sense to worry.
Either way, let's move on. We're about to rank our best fighters in Preds history, and we're going to do the Central Division rundown. Before we do that, let's tell you about our last sponsor. That is Raycon, which is let's tell you about Raycon. All of their wireless products, all of their tech gear, everything they have is the perfect holiday gift for you right now. So right now, it is the chaotic holiday season. Black Friday has already passed. If you're anything like me, you wait to the last minute to get all your shopping done. I hope you're not like me, but if you are, you have a friend.
I'm guilty of that. Not going to lie.
Yeah. But either way, Raycon's got you covered. Raycon's got awesome gear for you. So much options for you. It may be too early to start decorating for the holidays. Not for a lot of people, but you know, either way. It may be too early for decorating for the holidays, but it's never too early to start your holiday shopping. Why not take care of it now before the crowds and packed calendars make shopping a total nightmare, especially when you can get some of the best deals of the season well before Black Friday. You can shop Raycon products right now and save up to 50% off because their early Friday sale is going on now. You've heard me talk about Raycon's products before with all of their awesome gear, their water filters, their wireless earbuds, their wireless speakers. Everything they sell is just high quality and the best. Raycon first made a name for themselves in the audio space with products like their everyday earbuds, known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features like a 32-hour battery life and a perfect in-ear fit for all-day wear and lasting comfort. And this past year, they expanded their entire business with the introduction of Raycon Home and Raycon PowerTech. So for me, the best thing that I think they have out of their newest products is definitely their faucet filter, ultra filters, the water in your tap against chlorine and heavy metals. It's a must have for ensuring the water you use to wash your face and brush your teeth is, you know, actually clean. Raycon is known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features at half the price of other premium tech brands. It's no wonder their products have racked up tens of thousands of five-star reviews. To get everyone in the holiday shopping spirit a bit early, Raycon is currently offering 20% off everything on their site, with select products up to 50% off. So beat the crowds and save now. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on Raycon's current sales. Hurry now to buy raycon.com/THPN to get 20 to 50% off statewide. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score up to 50% off Raycon products. Buyraycon.com/THPN. Raycon has amazing products. We appreciate them being a sponsor of the podcast. All right, Max, top fighters in Preds history. About to put mine on the screen at the bottom. Without further ado, there's my top five right there. It's Cody McLeod.
A lot more similar than I thought it was going to be.
But I think one and two is going to be controversial.
I will say you're number five. I didn't know if you were going to put him on there at all because he played so little with the Preds, but that was exactly what I was thinking for number
Cody
five.
Cody McLeod was a beast.
Absolutely. He didn't play
that's all he
long,
did. Though. That's all he was out there for.
Pretty much. I think
like we watch current. So like real quick, we watch current Preds players that like to fight, like Jeremy Lazan. He loves to fight. Michael McCarron loves to fight, but they still have certain things they can do out there. Cody McLeod, from what I remember him in his short time with the
pure
Predators,
fighter.
That's all he was doing. If he was on the ice, he was about to fight.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was pretty much.
I crack him into my top five. But if you see my honorable mention, it was kind of tough to figure out who that fifth slot was because Rich Clune was a good fighter. He played very – Stu Grimson's actually considered one of the best fighters in NHL history. He was called the Grim Reaper. You got to look up Stu Grimson.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember him. I do remember
– He did color commentary for the Predators too for a short time.
I actually at separate points got pictures with both Clune and Grimson because Grimson was a commentator for the Preds and Clune played for us for a bit. So I remember –
Plus, he had the nickname the Grim Reaper. I mean, are you serious? And then Wade Bullock as well was a really good underrated fighter. So they make my honorable mention. But number five for me is Cody McLeod on my top five Preds fighters list. Max, how about you get your list started real quick for me?
I would say Cody McLeod at five. And again, that was one I did not know we were going to agree on, but I got him up there. And I will admit, I was going to say Michael McCarron for number four, but after, I had honestly totally forgotten about Austin Watson, as crazy as that was. So after thinking about him, I'd actually probably, I would say 4 and 5 are interchangeable for me between Watson and Cody McLeod. But I also will say I had 3-2-1 in that exact order.
Right, really?
Yep, I did.
So I wrestled with myself on putting Austin Watson in my top five because I remember Austin Watson losing a lot of fights. I really do. I felt like that dude never turned down a fight, but at the same time, I felt like he lost a lot of fights. And get in the comments with me if you remember the same thing. But to the same degree, he never backed down from the fight, so I got to give him respect for that.
Well, neither does Michael McCarron.
Took a lot of fights. Yes. So he cracks my top five. He also played for the Predators for a long time in that role. He carried it. And I don't know if you remember. I know it's not necessarily fighting, but Austin Watson would block shots left and right. That dude literally threw his body on the line every game he played, every shift. He was a human just wrecking ball, just to stop pucks.
Lane, like, making hits too, like all over.
So he comes in at number four.
I'm honestly surprised that McCarron's not even in your honorable mentions. I am a little surprised at that.
He doesn't fight that much though.
I guess I think he fights more than he actually does. I don't know, but I thought for sure you would have him on that honorable mentions. I'm a little bit surprised he's not on there.
I mean, I could have thrown him in there. You're right. He's worth an honorable mention. I just didn't put him in there.
Yeah.
He just doesn't fight a lot. When he does fight, it's always real. Like we saw him fight tonight.
Yep.
When he does fight, it's always really exciting. Cause I mean, you're talking about he's big enough to be a basketball player. I mean, especially on skates, the dude is like a tower. So obviously when he fights and he drops the gloves and tonight's fight against the Penguins, I mean, that was like a boxing match. I mean, they both dropped the gloves and sized each other up for a while. And so I've got some stats here for my next few fighters on my list. So first, let me go to Watson real quick, who's my number four fighter in Preds history. So I used hockeyfights.com, which is a great website. They actually they score every fight in every NHL game. And it's almost like they do a fight card. And it's a great website. Hockeyfights.com. Go check it out. But so for Austin Watson, he took 14 fights for the Preds in the 2016-17 season, which was that team that eventually went on to the Stanley Cup final. 14 fights that year. He fought such players, notable players, as Tom Wilson, Gabriel Landeskog, Cody McLeod, and Pat Maroon.
Yeah, certainly guys who are... if you're scared and experienced, whatever, you do not want to be fighting unless you have business doing so.
Exactly. Austin Watson was not afraid to drop the gloves with anybody. If you look at that, 14 fights in one season, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Hasn't Michael McCarron dropped the gloves more than once this year? I could have sworn he has.
I don't know the exact number.
I could be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure he's dropped, counting tonight, of course.
I would venture to say he's dropped the gloves at least 2 or 3 times, including tonight. But I don't know off the top of my head.
I gotcha.
So let me go to number three. And my top three was actually kind of hard to figure out because all three are like all-time greats in terms of fighting for this franchise. But I went number three. I went to the great Mark Borowiecki, who I still miss that dude. And I know he's in a coaching role with the team right now. Not sure his capacity and what all he's doing, but I know he's has a role. Such a stand-up guy. What he does for the community and in terms of mental health awareness is something that's so far beyond anything you could ever do on the hockey rink. Just love that dude. Now I miss seeing him out there playing, but in terms of fighting in this segment, he comes in at number three for me. Because anytime I saw Mark Borowiecki drop the gloves when he was in his prime and when he first joined the Predators before he dealt with all those injuries, I was like, this dude's done. Whoever he dropped the gloves with, I'm like, you have no chance. I mean, Borowiecki has like very little teeth. He looks like he literally does not care about anything. Like, I'm taking you down. he comes in at number three for me, Mark Borowiecki.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm biased, you know, from watching him being on my team and stuff, but it very much felt with Borowiecki's fights, more so than anyone else, it very much felt like he did it to like stick up for his team more than instead of just, you know, instigating. Because like you said about Borowiecki, off the ice, you would never know he's a fighter with the kind of guy he is, just what, like you said, what he does in the community and also coaching for the team now. But, you know, he would drop the gloves when he had to, and he was out there to protect his team, and he would certainly do that. He was one of those guys that you could just lean on.
Yeah. Justin Gambino gets a good honorable mention in here. He wasn't here for long, but Matthew Olivier was a great fighter.
Original Herdline
member. That's a really good honorable mention submission there.
Yep.
Love that one, Justin. Very good one. And then Mike Twitter jumps in and says, Watson fought for the right reasons, at least for the good of the team and defense of his teammates. I do remember that. Watson would always stick up for his teammates if there was like if it was a borderline hit, a dirty hit, whatever. And then Justin also says, I agree on Watson. Yeah. When it comes to some of the things, he did lose a lot of fights. Let's just call it like it is. Watson lost a lot of fights, but he still makes number four for me.
As long as you're fighting, though, that's what matters.
Top two, I feel like is pretty clear cut for this franchise. I think most Predators fans would agree with our top two here. Yep. But my number two, and I wrestled with myself on who to be number one, who to be number two. But let's start with Tanner Janot. Tanner Janot is my number two. I really wanted to make him number one, but I just couldn't do it. Tanner Janot is number two for me. Best fighters in Preds history, because Janot was one of those guys that just, I mean, if you step up against Janot, you better be ready to fight. I can't tell you how many times that players actually backed down from Janot. They were like, I don't want to fight you.
Yeah, and like, with the amount of hits he made, you couldn't be, again, that's one of those other players you couldn't fight without having business doing so. I mean, no one, it seemed like nobody was ever that dumb to, you know, instigate with him, because he really was that intimidating. I mean, I don't think he ever did, but he would have fought Tom Wilson if he ever had to. He wouldn't care.
Oh, for sure. Oh yeah, definitely.
And he might have after he's been on the Lightning, but like, I honestly don't know.
There was definitely players. I remember watching games where Janot wanted to fight. He was pushing it. He was pushing the buttons, and guys would step down and not drop the gloves with him.
I'll never forget the first game he ever played for us, where when he hit John Klingberg and sent him flying. I'm like, oh my God, this guy is
crazy. Who's this Janot guy?
This is going to be that kind of guy. I was like, goodness, what is going on here?
And to this day, that trade to the Lightning. So I live down here in Tampa area, and I can tell you right now, I have plenty of friends who are Lightning fans, and they love Janot just as much as we do.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's a prototypical hockey fan's dream player to cheer for. He plays the game the right way. He's a hard skater. He's starting to finally find his place with the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. If you follow the Tampa Bay Lightning down here and you see what they're doing as a team right now, who they're playing very well actually as well right now. But he's starting to find his place with the Tampa Bay Lightning, just as he did with the Predators. And I know that hurts, that breaks the hearts of Predators fans to hear that, but because we love Janot so much, but let that dude flourish somewhere else. And I think he's going to do some really great things as a member of the Lightning. And I think in time, that trade, is as much as everyone thought the Lightning got fleeced because they gave away so many draft picks for Tanner Janot, I actually think that trade can end up being one of those trades that works out great for both teams.
Yeah. And I still think that any Preds fan who says they wouldn't have taken that trade is definitely lying to themselves, because who wouldn't? I would have taken what the season Janot was having last year. I would have taken one first for him or second through fifth round picks. And the fact that we got all of that is crazy. I mean, that's still a trade I take in a heartbeat. All the love for Janot, I'll still be a fan favorite all the time. But that it's unfortunately it's a business, and when you see deals like that for a guy like Jeannot, you got to take him and run with him.
It shocked everybody when it happened, yeah. Including myself. I mean, no one ever thought that.
Like, I literally saw a tweet. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Friedman or Cervalli. I don't remember who it was, but it was a pretty reputable source, and it said, literally, GMs in league are stunned, like jaws on the floor. I'll never forget that tweet.
Yeah. It was crazy. All right, let's go to our top fighter, at least for me personally, in Preds history.
I don't think you're going to get many
legends there. Yeah, it's the legend, Jordan Tutu. I mean, the dude was very similar to Jeannot in a way. I compare them very closely, but Tutu was the type of player that, I mean, he was out there to fight, but he also was a fast skater, and he had energy. They're very similar, actually. They really were. They're very similar style players. But Jordan Tutu had 116 career fights in the NHL and has the most penalty minutes in Preds history with 725, and he's going to hold that top spot for a very, very long time. No one active right now is even close to touching that record, and a lot of those penalty minutes are fighting majors. Yeah, Tutu was just a great fighter, and I remember watching Tutu do the uppercut. He was so good at grabbing the shirt and getting that position and coming right up. I mean, Tutu was just like a brawler, and it's tough between Jeannot and Tutu, but Tutu was the original OG of this franchise when it came to that type style of play, and so I cannot move Tutu off the top, off the mantle.
I don't think anyone would. Yeah,
I just can't do it.
Yeah, and I can't. There's really nothing you said that I could really add to. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much everything you said. Tutu was the original fighter for the Preds, and yeah, just that was his MO all the time, and that's, yeah, he won't get away from that.
And I welcome people to go look at YouTube videos of Tutu fighting in a Preds sweater. There's plenty of videos out there, and you'll understand why he's at the top of my list. So that's our top five Preds fighters in Preds history with some honorable mentions there. Current Preds players, I mean, Michael McCarron's a really good choice. Yakov Trenin, who doesn't fight as much, and I don't really want to see Trenin fighting that much, but he can fight. You look at it more and more, the Preds don't have a ton of fighters currently right now. They're more skill. You got Jeremy Lazan.
Yeah, no, they don't have a lot of those fighters.
And that's really it. Jeremy Lazan and Michael McCarron, they're your two fighters.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And McCarron won't even play like every night. So.
And Cole Smith. We can't leave out Cole Smith. He's a fighter too. But.
Yeah.
And
not to the degree of the other guys, though.
And no fighting allowed for Alexander Carrier ever.
No, we don't want him fighting. He needs to be on the ice.
There was a pregame interview with Carrier. It was a few games ago. I can't remember who they were playing. And he was talking. They asked him about Jeremy Lazan and how he plays and how important he is. And Carrier was saying, like, oh, yeah, like sometimes I wish I could play that way and fight or whatever. And he kind of like chuckled. And I'm like, no, please, no.
No, that's not your MO. You're a pure skill guy. We need to stay that way.
Let Jeremy Lazan do all the fights. You stay out of that, please.
No, I'm totally okay keeping his role.
Let's get into the Central Division rundown really quick to close out episode 210 of Catfish on Ice with your hosts Chad Minton and Max Greenberg. Let's get down to business here for the Central Division rundown. Connor Bedard reportedly not happy in Chicago. Let's start with that. And this is this doesn't even have anything to do with all the nasty rumors that are going on that we're not really going to dive into because I don't like to talk about rumors like that. Because,
me neither.
For one, there's no concrete evidence. I will say that the Chicago Blackhawks GM did come out today and say that it's gross rumors, and you know, it's a very private matter. It's involving his family, Connor Bedard's family. And these rumors are something that could literally wreck this young man's career if it gets out of control.
Can I say one thing? And that's
absolutely.
It's separate from Bedard's family. I saw an ESPN notification 2 minutes ago. This just in: incident involving Corey Perry occurred in Columbus of involving team employee per Emily Kaplan.
So it has nothing to do with Connor Bedard.
Apparently not.
So this was some rumor that was started by some person who just wants clout, and that's the downside to social media and Twitter and all of that, is that these bot accounts and these parody accounts can spread these rumors. And unfortunately, when it comes to something like this, it involves family, it involves a lot of jokes. And like, look, I like a good joke. I like to laugh. I'm not saying that I'm like a prude or anything. But when you start involving family, and when you start involving someone literally the age of Connor Bedard, he's a young man. Like he's and you're involving his family and his mother. I just think it's in bad taste, and it's just sick. But
and especially when you get to an environment like this, where you want to give insightful analysis. We don't want to be talking about those rumors unless like we know they're true. But like especially when it comes to settings like this that are more serious, we want to. We don't want to touch those topics.
But also, even outside of all that, even before all this rumor started like spreading like wildfire, there are reports out there, and they are just reports, and they could be rumors as well. But there are reports that Connor Bedard is not actually happy within the way the Chicago Blackhawks front office and the team culture is being ran right now. So we can dive into that. Do you think that's a nothing burger, Max, or do you think that there's something more to that possibly?
Because
we know the Blackhawks are a mess.
Stuff about the Blackhawks that's come out with the Kyle Beach shelf. We don't need to go over that again. That's everyone has a set opinion on that by now. There's no need to talk about that anymore. And I certainly will join Bedard in saying I don't like the Blackhawks now. They're running all of that. He's a player and I'm just a Blackhawks hater. But, I think as far as, what it means going forward, wouldn't put too much stock into it right now. He's 18 years old. He still is in the NHL, but, he's probably got some maturing to do like all 18-year-olds do. It's being an 18-year-old in the NHL is no small responsibility whatsoever. And, part of it, could be the fact they're just losing and, because that roster, even with Bedard, is still bottom three in the NHL, especially with Taylor Hall out for the year. I believe it's out for the year is what it is, Taylor Hall. And, part of it, right, I would guess, right now, I definitely think there's a good chance that a lot of his unhappiness is due to just the fact that they're losing. And that was going to happen to pretty much any team that drafted him in that position. So, obviously we know how the Blackhawks are run, and it could have to do with a lot of that stuff. And maybe, Bedard is certainly behind those closed doors more than we're not behind those closed doors at all. Everything we see is purely on the scenes. So, we don't.
Well, one thing we do seem to know is that the culture surrounding the Blackhawks is probably one of the worst in the league. Like it seems like it's a very toxic atmosphere, and maybe the GM Kyle Davidson is trying to fix all that. I'm not trying to judge that guy, but what I'm saying is there is maybe some credence to maybe Bedard not being happy with where he's at. He's a generational talent. Is there a possibility that he could not be happy there and eventually he could push his way out before he ever signs a long-term contract there? That could happen.
Yeah, that could happen for sure.
And I think if you're a diehard Blackhawks fan right now, this has been a really, really tough week because maybe you weren't expecting your team to be anything great this year, but literally your lottery and your stock is all in Connor Bedard. And if with all of this, with this really crappy, horrible rumor that's strolling around, but not even just that, but these reports that are saying he's not happy with where he's at, it's bad news. The Blackhawks did beat the Kraken tonight, so they did win on the ice. And looking at it, like, I mean the Kraken are kind of a mess right now. But, yeah. And Connor Bedard did play in this game. Didn't register a point, but did record 16 minutes of ice time.
Yeah.
But the Blackhawks do get the 4-3 win. Let's move along here in the Central Division rundown. Something a little bit more positive here. Ryan Johansson, the former Predator, is absolutely tearing it up for the Colorado Avalanche. And I'll tell you right now, I could not be more happy for the guy.
Absolutely. Now, everyone loves Joey. You know, we saw last Monday when he had the ovation from the crowd. You couldn't say a bad thing about him. He was loved on the ice and the locker room, everywhere he goes. You know, nobody has a bad thing to say about Joey. And, you know, what's crazy is, you know, now he's not, because when he was in Nashville, he was, of course, known as a pure distributor and a guy who's, you know, more of a facilitator. But he's already got 10 goals in 21 games, and you'd like to see the assists he has to rack those up a little bit. But like 10 goals, if we could see Johansson be a 40-goal scorer, that's crazy. And, you know, I feel like we all kind of had a feeling that once Johansson kind of went to a more offensively inclined team like the Avalanche, that he could start to break out a little bit more. And
yeah, I mean, and he's obviously on a much more talented roster right now than he ever was on Nashville.
Absolutely.
But he had a 2-goal game. So the Avalanche beat the Lightning 4-1 on Monday, and Ryan Johansson had a 2-goal game in that one. So as Max just said, Ryan Johansson is 10 points in 21 games this year. 9 of those being goals, only 1 assist. That's kind of surprising.
You got to feel like that's going to balance out a little bit, though.
Yeah. But either way, you know, one thing about Ryan Johansson is, I mean, he's 31 years old. He's at the back. He's on the back nine of his NHL career. But the fact that he's still producing for a loaded Avalanche team.
Yeah.
And also on top of that, he has a realistic chance to win a Stanley Cup, his first Stanley Cup with the Avalanche this year. You can't help but be happy for him, and he's a great guy. He never wanted to leave Nashville. He wanted to retire a Nashville Predator.
Yeah.
He'll always be a Nashville Predator. He'll always be a Nashville Predator.
And people have to, like, there's still a crowd of people that talks about, you know, oh, he was overpaid, he was a liability. Well, like, number one, don't blame him for that, because, you know, it's not, he accepted the contract, so that's not his fault. But like, but he still made a lot of contributions to this team in that playoff run back in 2017. He was one of the biggest X factors, and you can't get mad at him for the contract that he was offered. And just in general, you know, I always get mad whenever fans or anyone blame the players for those contracts. It's not the players who are, you know, just stealing the money. They're being offered the money by the front office. If you're offered a $10 million contract or whatever, you're going to take it no matter what you're doing.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. So it's good to see him land in a good spot. If there's any former Predator that deserves a Stanley Cup, it's definitely Ryan Johansson. Absolutely. And the same goes for Matt Duchene with Dallas. Yeah. And so we're looking at two former Predators who enjoyed a lot of success with this franchise, Ryan Johansson more so than Matt Duchene. But they're both with perennial Stanley Cup contenders within the division, no less, which is really weird for Predators fans. But either way, both players are very upstanding and great people, and they both deserve Stanley Cups. So you look at both teams, the Stars and the Avalanche, that could be your Western Conference
Absolutely.
Championship final preview. So, yeah, but definitely – happy for Ryan Johansson to see success. Great dude. So with that said, we've already touched on the Minnesota Wild being a huge disappointment in the league as part of our Central Division rundown. We're going to see the Wild on Thursday. That's the next game for the Predators. 6 wins in a row. Philip Forsberg scores the game winner in overtime tonight to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 3-2. Oh, how sweet it is. And with that said, we are going to let you go here tonight on episode 210 of Catfish and Ice with your hosts, Chad Minton and Max Greenberg. We'll see you next time. Have a great night, everybody.